down, oh God. Cause somebody from the message you will preach today to draw closer to you, Heavenly Father. Let somebody see the need to be serious with you, Papa. And at the end, may your name be glorified. Let nobody leave here the same as they came in, oh Lord. Let us receive restoration today. Let us receive revival today. Let your glory never depart from us. In Jesus' name we pray. Pick your Bibles and let's pick a text before we sit down to John chapter 13. Want to pick a text? John chapter 13. And I'll read one verse. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are we there? We are reading verse 18. John chapter 13. I'm picking my text from there. For something important at this point in time that the church should be reminded of. Particularly, not just the general church of Jesus Christ, but the bride assembly as a local church. I speak not of you all, I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. May the Lord add blessing to the reading of his word. Let's be seated. Hallelujah. We're looking at something very briefly, time will permit us. Very, very important. Very, very important. Today is Sunday. When we come together like this, we talk to God, let God talk back to him, to us. And we have looked at the church of Jesus Christ as much as possible from various angles to let those who have ears to hear, to take a stand. We want to achieve one or two things from that. The first thing we achieve is, you know, it's in response to what Apostle Peter said, that we should be diligent to make your calling and election sure. He was speaking to Christians. Nobody, no one can come to Christ except the Father we sent him draw you. That's what the Bible says. That is the call. And everyone that came to Jesus Christ, it was an action of the Holy Ghost drawing you to make you come to Christ to receive him. Hallelujah. And it's important because if you don't understand this call of God, you will not understand what the Bible says. Many are called, but few are chosen. Many are called, but few are chosen. And so, now we believe that everybody that carries Bible is a Christian. It's supposed to be. Because if you don't believe what is in that book, why are you holding it? It's true. It's expected that if you carry Bible, you go to church, you have forsaken all other religions. You've decided to hold on to this Christian religion because you believe. You believe in the God of Israel. You believe in the God of this Bible. You have decided to make this Bible your map to your eternal destination, your compass to your eternal destination. That is the reason why You go to church. That's the reason why you are not in a beer parlor this morning. That's the reason why you are not in some other place at all. Maybe somebody is relaxing now by a beach somewhere. You are here because you believe the God of this Bible. But Apostle Peter said, be diligent. He used the word diligence there. Diligence there connotes seriousness. He said, be diligent to make your calling and election sure. Now, the second reason is so that you don't get stumbled by actions around. You go to church, you hear somebody is a pastor, you hear somebody is a minister, very anointed. You see a brother, a sister, she does not palm her hair, she does not wear jewelry, she does not wear trousers. If you see her, she dresses completely as a Christian. She sees vision, maybe she even prophesies, maybe. And all of a sudden, you see that person again living like a devil, manifesting devilish traits, yet masquerading as a Christian. Then the tendency, if you don't understand these scriptures, the tendency is for you to say, ha, all Christians are like that, hypocrites. Uh-huh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so, we want to help you to understand the things that you meet along this Christian journey. Hallelujah. We want to help you to understand this Christian journey. We want you to begin to interpret every action you see in the church. Interpret it from the scriptural point of view. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Are we together? So don't only open your ears. Don't only open your eyes looking at me. In fact, I don't even care if your eyes are open or closed. For what I want to say now, if only you can open your ear and your heart this moment, you may catch something that you have not known before. We have tried to look at the fact in our past sermons that when the children of Israel left Egypt, hallelujah, the Bible says they were a mixed multitude. They were a mixed multitude. It means it's not everyone that left that was a Jew. It's not everyone that left that was a Jew. Praise God. All manner of people also left Egypt, supposedly following Moses' message. Supposedly following Moses' message. But not every one of them was under the covenant that God had with Abraham. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And that mixed multitude is still available now. So, all I'm trying to do this afternoon is say something that the old members have heard me say several times, but that the new members joining us and those who may listen to this tape, either on the television or some tape somewhere, may also use it to know what is happening around you in this Christian faith. You say, God call you, God call you, God call you. Apostle Peter say, hey, make your calling and election sure, because many are called, but few are chosen. Be sure you are among those that have been chosen. And so, we're looking at a character now in the Bible. In John chapter 13, the supper was ended. The Lord's Supper was ended. The communion of the bread and the wine, the Passover feast, they had finished the supper. And now Jesus Christ removed a towel, tied around his waist, brought a bowl of water, and began to wash everybody's feet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And after washing everybody's feet there, blessed be the name of the Lord. Listen to what he did. If you read chapter 13, let me read it from verse 2. And supper being ended, John chapter 13, listen very, very carefully. And supper being ended, the devil, having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things unto his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and gathered himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and washed, and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was gathered. Then cometh he to Simon Peter. And Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter said unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him, therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. Now watch that statement. I want you to note that it was Jesus himself that called Judas. The same way he called the other 11 disciples was the same way he also called Judas. You can confirm how he called the call of Judas in Luke chapter 6 and verse 16. Luke chapter 6. Verse 16. That is Judas himself. That's how he was called. And Judas, and then watch it. And Jesus knew every one of them. He called Peter. He called Judas also. Watch it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This morning, we are looking at the ministry of Brother Judas. That is the topic of our message this morning. Write it very well and underline brother. The ministry of Brother Judas. Brother Judas. Amen. Because if you want, you know, all the disciples that there, they will stand and beat their chest. I am sure of my calling. Peter, the same way Jesus called you is the same way he called me. So concerning the call of Judas, there is no controversy. The Bible makes it clear he was among the disciples of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So you say, you believe the entire message? Hallelujah. In Luke chapter 19, he turned and looked at Jerusalem and wept. Because he was seeing the destruction of Jerusalem, that city. And he said, that destruction was coming upon them because they recognized not, they knew not the time of their visitation. The woman at the well recognized him. In John chapter 4. Hallelujah. Philip recognized him. And when he went to call Nathanael, Nathanael also came and recognized him. And so many others supposedly recognized him. And those that were the closest to him were the 12. So they recognized that Jesus Christ was their Messiah, was sent by God according to the scriptures. So Judas also believed the message. Judas was in the message. He left the Pharisee and Sadducee denomination to come to the end time message following prophet Jesus according to the word of God. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. You want to confirm that? John chapter 6, let's read it. Hallelujah. Now in John chapter 6, Jesus took time there. Jesus took time there. Oh, glory be to God. He was explaining the depth of his ministry. He was explaining the depth of his ministry. A mystery that he was going to use to cause some separation. Hallelujah. And he told them so many deep things. Things like, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. He told them, Moses gave you that bread. That type of bread that he gave you is not the type of bread that you must eat now. He told them, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you cannot have life. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Go to verse 66. Hallelujah. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. All through the period, he concentrated only on miracles, signs, and wonders. Thousands were following him. Thousands were following him. And now, he, being God, knows who is who to separate them. What did he do? Hallelujah. He began to give them the word. He began to give them the word. The true children of God don't only follow miracles. The elect of God, it is not miracle that is their attraction. I want somebody this thing to sink on somebody. The elect of God, the true seed of God, the real fish that the fishing net of the gospel is gathering, it's not miracles. There is something else they see beyond those miracles. Beyond those miracles, there's something else they see. When you come to Bride Assembly, what is your revelation of this place of worship? What is your revelation of this place of worship? So many of you coming here, all the reason why you have made this place your place of worship is for protection. In case, I know that if I'm in Bride Assembly, before the witches in my village will get me, prophecy will pick it. So because of it, the Bride Assembly will be my church. So many of you, you are here simply just because of the miracles. And how do I know? Your actions prove it. Your actions prove it. And truly speaking, that is not the foundation of this ministry. This ministry is not founded on miracles, signs, and wonders. No. It's more than that. More than that. The Bible says, these miracles, healing, deliverance, is the children's bread. It's the children's bread. You are a father, you have a son. The relationship between that boy and you, the papa, is not because of what you are giving him. It's not for what he will get from you. That is why he's remaining your son. He's not answering your name because of what you will give him. No. A son is different from a servant. A son is different from a slave. The way a son acts in the father's compound is different from the way the slave, the household that is employed, will behave in that same house. I said it. when I preach a message that I titled The Spirit of Bondage. In that message, I try to let you know what the spirit of bondage is all about. And then the difference between the spirit of bondage and the spirit of adoption. See, we have been adopted. We have been given the spirit of adoption. Whereby we cry what? Abba, Father. There is a father-son relationship between me and God. Whether he gives me what I ask of him or not, he's my father. I have a better revelation of this God than to limit myself to following him only for what he will give me. I have a better revelation of his love for me. I know if I pray and he doesn't give me now, I know all things work together for good. To them that love him, to them that are called according to his purpose. I know there's a reason why he has not answered me now. Why he has decided to answer another brother today and has chosen to wait for another 6 months before answering my own. I know it is to work out my own good. I know better than that. Therefore, if he does not answer me now, it doesn't bother me. I will still follow him. I will still be in the church. I will not say anything negative because I know whom I have believed. I know him. I know him. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He said, he that shall come to me must believe that he is what? He is God. Jesus Christ, first the disciples say, except you believe that I am he, you will all perish. What does that mean? You have to believe that I am the Messiah you need. Without me, you are finished. But so many people did not know that he is he. The he that is to come. They did not know. And all they do is follow him for what they will get from him. And as I speak now, that same group, they are here today. They are here today. As long as we stay here and just talk on miracle, signs and wonders, showers, prosperity, discernment, your enemy will die tomorrow, they will rise next tomorrow, your business is coming today, this one tomorrow, healing, drink water, HIV is gone. If we stay like that, no problem, revival galore. But go beyond and touch and tell them that without holiness, you can't see God. They say, stay on your ministry. Your ministry is for healing and deliverance. Are you surprised that there are more men in Bride Assembly than women? No. For a woman in this age that we live now, to truly from your heart, come to a stage where you are convinced that a Christian woman should not put on earrings, should not put on chains, should not paint your face, and then should not go to the saloon and spoil the natural texture of your hair. They call it perming. For a woman in this age to believe that from the heart is rare. Most people are doing it by constraint. Most people are doing it so that my husband will not be angry with me. Some sisters are doing it so that I will get a husband. Not because it is a requirement, a Christian requirement for this age. And so, when we now decide to hit that area, the population of the women will reduce. After all, what are they here for? That group of people, they're here for problem. If there's no any other place where the problem can be solved without anybody touching that area, they will leave and go. That is why we are not surprised that the women population in this church is lower than that of the men. It's true. Tell me any man here that from your heart of heart that you believe that wherever you are walking, you should be truthful. You should not take bribe. How many policemen are in this church? How many custom officers are in this church? How many accountants, government office accountants are in this church? How many politicians are in this church? How many cocaine pushers can be in this church? How many Igbo smokers can be in this church? How many alcoholics can be in this church? They can't be here. They can't. In this age now, where the gospel is so lowered, until everybody is made to look like a saint, where he is worse than the devil. And yet, there's a pastor to pacify him. Which church will keep such a people if you stand for holiness? See? That's what we're talking about. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Verse 66. From that time that he began to speak those words, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, unto those 12 now that remained, will you also go away? He was asking them, will you also go too? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Before he made that statement, it is because Peter was looking for eternal life. So where the words of eternal life are, that is where he will pitch his camp. Your selection of where to worship is determined by what you are looking for. It's true. If you are looking for only miracle signs and wonders, there is a place of attraction where you will go. If you are looking, you want to go in the rapture, there is a place where your soul will find rest. Simon was looking for eternal life. He said, where are we going? Where shall we go? Is it Sadducees? Is it Pharisees? The Zealots? Who are we? Where are we going? Where do you want us to go to hear the kind of things you tell us? You have the words of eternal life. Verse 69. And we believe and are sure. Oh, glory be to God. We believe and we are what? Sure. That thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. That Christ, that connotes expectation. That connotes they have been looking for the Christ. They have been in expectation looking for that Christ. They say, you are that Christ. Oh, glory be to God. The Son of the living God. Then, and while they were saying this, Judas was speaking louder than Peter. We are sure. Peter was saying, we are sure. We are sure thou art that Christ. Hallelujah. But Peter, Jesus knew everything. Verse 70. Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12? And one of you is a devil. See? He spoke of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12 that Jesus called. Judas did not join himself there. Judas was called by Jesus. But see his testimony. He came all the way to that point where he was able to recognize that this Jesus is that Christ that the scripture say we come. The virgin birth that was prophesied, he is the one. The Messiah of Israel, he is the one. The Savior of the whole world, he is the one. The Lamb of God that taken away the sins of the world, he is the one. The sacrificial lamb, he is the one. The rest for the Jews, he is the one. Ah, the soon coming king, he is the one. The Lord of Lords, he is that one, the one we have been expecting. He came that close, but he had a comma. Oh yes, he had a comma, he had a comma. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, there's something even about the name of Judas that would have been very confusing. The name Judas means let God be praised. That is the meaning of Judas. It means let God be praised. And when you want to rate him within a local church setting, he was the next important person in that church where there were 12 members. They were 70 before, they were reduced to 12. Hallelujah. You see why I said that you have multitude, thousands in a church, is not evidence of approval from God. Because God alone knows the mixed multitude that are sitting there. Oh, brother assembly, there are thousands. It does not move me. Do we have 1,000 Christians or 1,000 church members, church goers? More than that. Do we have people who love God with the whole of their heart? Or people who love God for what they will get from Him? Do you love Him because He first loved you and purchased your salvation on the cross of Calvary? Or you love Him for what you will get from Him? And most of the people that come to this church, most, they are people that are coming to Christ for what they will get from Him. How do I know? I'm not speaking presumptuously. The Bible says, by their fruit you will know them. I told you during the night vision what happened last Tuesday. And it has been happening always in this church. When it was time for offering, in obedience to the scripture that says, when coming before the presence of God, don't come empty-handed. Every time you are bringing offering, you are not doing the church a favor. That is something you must understand. A lot of us don't even have the revelation of this offering that we bring. If you do, it will reflect in your attitude. Oh, glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. They are coming here on Sunday now. Time for offering. They were ready to put 5 naira here and then put 2,000 naira and come and meet a prophet after service. I'm sowing seed. And you think you're fooling God? Is He your God? He has become your God now. See where God was waiting for you here. You bypass Him to go to His servant. There is the offering for the servant of God. There is the offering also for that offering box. But you have no revelation. And so you are wondering, why is my condition not changing? My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm only trying to make you understand the difference between Peter and Judas. They were all disciples. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In that little church, 12 of them, Judas, let God be praised. That is his name. He was the next important person in that church after Jesus. Because he was the treasurer. And sometimes, if you know how God works, fear will catch you. I'm telling you. Why will God know that this person is a thief? Know that this person is, it means he knows that he was always stealing our money. He was always stealing the church money. Yet, of all of them, he was the one that was given that appointment to take care of the money. Because the Bible says that he knew that he was a thief. He was a thief. He knew that he's the one that would betray him. Yet he anointed him and placed him in position of authority in the church. And unknown to you people, you are looking at ministers all over the world, churches with pastors that are in control of millions and billions of naira. Millions and billions of naira they're in control of. And supposedly preaching the gospel. And when you look at what some of them are preaching, and if you look at the crowd they are bringing up, the doctrines they stand for, most of them are nothing but another Judas Iscariot. God, knowing who he is, what he wants, the reason for him joining that group, decided to satisfy his heart desire. He wants money, give him money. And not one day did you see Jesus rebuking Judas. Judas was never one day rebuked by Jesus. Read the Bible. But how many times, several times, he rebuked Peter. One time he called Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan." But never one day did he rebuke Judas. So Judas would have sat down there stealing the money. Nobody knows. Jesus never mentioned anything about it. There was never a time he was accused of anything. They never even called for the account to be looked at. And then he would have sat down there and carried his shoulders. Meanwhile, Jesus knows who everybody is. Do you know he knows who you are? Do you know Jesus knows who I am? No, ask your neighbor, do you know Jesus knows who you are? No, ask him. Some people don't know. It's true, some people don't know. It's true. Because when you talk about knowing Jesus Christ again, Judas knew him personally. He ate with him. He drank with him. He moved with him. He knew him personally. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. With all the wonderful testimony, he still had his butt. Anytime I read the story of Judas, I see the story of Naaman. In 2 Kings chapter 5, Naaman, a great Syrian general, that by him, Syria had won so many battles, he was known as a mighty man of valor. With all that testimony, how great the people were looking at him. Inside of him, that man was suffering one comma in his life, leprosy. The Bible said, with all this, he said, but he was leprous. But he was leprous. If you read John chapter 12, verses 4 to 6, John 12, 4 to 6, Judas was referred to as a thief. Because in that same scripture, he was described as one that loved money. He was a thief. And he loved money. And everyone that has the love of money, the Bible speaks about the love of money. It's the root of all evil. There is no one that loves money so much that he will not steal. It's the love of money that will make somebody steal. It's the love of money that will make somebody who is already a billionaire still go to government and still steal again on top. All the people that died in the air crash now, all the wealth some of them have, it has followed them there. That is why the Bible makes it clear. Apostle Paul got this revelation. He said, naked we came to this world, and naked are we going back. He said, we came with nothing, and he said, and it is certain we are going with nothing. If you have that revelation, why do you love so money until it is even at the risk of your eternal destination? Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He loved money. He loved money so much. Until sometime, he looked at a woman, Mary, that came to demonstrate her love for Jesus. She brought the most expensive perfume she has and poured it at the feet of Jesus. I was using her hair to rub. And Judas stood there. Look at this woman. Wasting this money. When the money should have been used. About 300 pence, or what did he call it? Would have sold it for about 300 pence. He even knew the cost of that perfume. Then giving it to the poor. Look at what she's wasting it. And in that scripture, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus turned and looked. He did not reply to Judas concerning it all. But the Bible records that it is not because he had pity for poor people. But what he wanted, it was because he had the treasury. He had the money bag. He's the one keeping the money for that church. And so he was only looking for opportunity for more money to come so that he will steal. That is why we say God judges our motives. For whatever we do, God is judging our motive. God is judging our motive. He looks beyond our actions. He goes to see what our motives are. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And he was the one that betrayed Christ. As we see clearly in John chapter 13 and verse 21, he was the one that betrayed Christ. And you can see that also in John chapter 18. Read it from verse 1 down and see how he betrayed Christ. They needed somebody who was close that would be able to identify Jesus. And the person they wanted, they got, was readily available. He went and showed them where Jesus was and identified him. He gave him a wonderful kiss and said, "Brother, I love you." And so many of such kisses are still going on in the Church of Jesus Christ today. Somebody is telling you, "Brother, I love you." And actually in his heart, he hates you. That is Judas' kiss. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. As today, that same spirit has not gone. That same spirit of Judas is still in the Church of Jesus Christ today. People who are supposed to be the disciples of Jesus Christ, they are the same people today still betraying Christ. Still betraying Christ today. Hallelujah. The enemy knows he has no way of getting to Christ directly. It's like a father. And so many parents have suffered this. The enemy wants to come to you. They cannot get to you. You are too prayerful. You are too strong for them to come against you. The security around you spiritually, physically is too much. The next thing they do is to go after your children. When they want to finish any man, they go after his children. So many men today, parents have died of hypertension caused by the action of their children. I know of a state chief judge in this country. A state chief judge in this country, that his son was a robber. And as at that time, he was the chairman of that state. Robbery tribunal. I'm telling you what I know. I know this family very closely. The man was going to collapse when the son was arrested. I spoke to him on phone. He said, "How do you think I will feel?" He said, the devil has using this boy to finish him. He's sitting down here as the chairman of armed robbery tribunal, condemning other people to death. Now his son is involved. He was going to die of hypertension. And that is how the Lord Jesus Christ, if not for who he is, Jesus would have been dead of hypertension by now again. When you see the way Christians are behaving, and yet they are bearing the name of Christ. You see? But I thank God that Jesus is God, not a man. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. He has revelation of who he is. Because he knows those who are claiming to be Christians, they are truly not Christians. That's why he said the foundation of God standeth sure. The foundation of God, he said, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. The Lord knoweth them that are his. And he mentioned, let them that call upon the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. Don't join them. Don't join them. Oh, there's no way I can preach this message. There's no other way of saying this rather than bringing it home. That even in this ministry, that the people that are crucifying Christ the more in this church, they are those that we are supposed to be looking up to in this ministry. When you are in my position, position and hear some things that I hear, then you will know what I'm talking about in this ministry. You see, this is supposed to be a restored ministry. It's expected that anybody that has received the anointing here is a genuine anointing of the Holy Ghost. Any anointing of the Holy Ghost you receive here is a genuine anointing of the Holy Ghost. It's a different thing if you receive that anointing before you came here. Under my ministration, receive the Holy Ghost, and you receive the Holy Ghost. I believe with the whole of my heart, I have never gone anywhere to look for power. I have never gone to any man and said, lay hand on me so the anointing will come upon me. I have never. I believe the grace of God upon me is original, uncontaminated. If I say receive, and you receive anything, it's expected that it will be original Holy Ghost anointing.